Now, a disabled man was not allowed to get on a flight from Belfast International because his wheelchair repair kit was deemed a security risk. I think if you saw this in a film, you wouldn't believe it. However, it's true. And I want to speak to one of the family members, indeed, of Mr. Smithers, Steve Smithers, the man who was turned away from that flight. His wife, Lisa, is on the line. Lisa, good morning.
Hi, Frank. Good morning.
Lisa, I'll let you tell the story for those who would be listening who haven't heard it on the news this morning. Just explain what Steve went through, please.
Steve was due to fly from Belfast International Airport to London Gatwick on Saturday. He was making the trip to see his elderly father who has cancer, and it was his last opportunity to see his dad before the chemo starts. To treat that. So obviously it was a very, very important trip for him, but actually the experience he had would be unacceptable regardless of the reason for his trip. And essentially what happened is Steve was travelling independently, as he has done many times over the 11 years that he's been injured, and he was stopped at airport security. When they discovered his wheelchair repair kit, they were they wanted to confiscate this, and they did so because the Civil Aviation Authority's regulations state that work tools cannot be brought into the cabin. The important point that we want to make is that the Civil Aviation Authority regulations need to sit alongside the 2010 Equalities Act regulations, which also state that reasonable adjustments for disabled people need to be made, and that is a duty and an obligation that organisations, businesses and companies like airports have, service providers, etc. So the fact that security were unable to distinguish between Steve's repair kits for his wheelchair, which is essentially medical equipment, and work tools that an able-bodied workman would be using, is where we have that, where the problem arose. Now, there was no escalation procedures in place, so the guy that Steve was talking to was the security supervisor, but there was no further escalation point beyond that. So really, what he said, what security said, was the sort of final point. Steve relies on that toolkit to repair and adjust his wheelchair if necessary, and he was also relying on the Spanish so that he could adapt the hire car that he had booked for Gatwick to complete his journey. Once they were confiscated, it meant he physically would not be able to complete that journey independently and safely. It would have been resolved very simply just by allowing the cabin crew to take those tools on board for him. The cabin crew have said that they would have been happy to do that, but unfortunately they were never given the opportunity to do so, and it was much too late by the time they had said they would be happy for that.
I understand that Steve has restricted ability. He's a wheelchair user who has significant restriction in his ability to move around without the wheelchair.
Yes, that's true. Steve is paraplegic. He is paralysed from the chest down.
So we've now got a picture of Steve liaising with this security representative. He is someone who's using the wheelchair. He's of limited mobility, and they're accusing him. One person is suggesting to him that when he gets on board, he might decide to dismantle the plane.
Well, we're really keen that we don't single out a particular individual as this, because actually the problem sits within the security training and procedures that are in place or not, as the case may be.
This is very interesting. Yes. This is interesting, Lisa, because how you're looking at it is maybe much more diplomatic than how I would be looking at it. Or maybe I'm being more diplomatic than you, because I see one guy who is making a decision without referring it up or without taking other advice, and he is saying no. A bit like the joke on Little Britain, computer says no. That sort of attitude where he has decided, you have tools, it says on the rules here, no tools allowed in the cabin area, so therefore your tools are not going on. Now, he didn't think about relating it to the tools being a form of a medical assistance. He didn't think about equating the, as you've described, the legislation for people with disabilities in relation to security. He didn't think beyond the power that he had. So he comes across to me as one individual who is obstinate, one individual who is difficult, one individual who's got the power to turn someone away. Whereas the other staff, and I've been through Belfast International Airport many times, the other staff are fabulous. They do an excellent job, and I'm sure you've been through it and have thought that as well. So is it really the system, or is it one particular person? You know, there's quite a few references here to tools and spanners, you know what I mean? And that can sometimes be used in a derogatory way. We try to avoid employing tools and spanners, but, you know, there's a suggestion here that this guy needs to be taken away and trained as an individual. And it's not a problem actually within the airport.
We would disagree with that, and we would say that that individual was put in a position of authority and a public-facing role by the airport, and he was clearly not equipped with the correct training and information that he needed to be able to do that role appropriately. So he was at one point referring to the Disability Discrimination Act, which was obsolete when it was replaced by the Equalities Act in 2010. So he clearly hasn't been equipped with the up-to-date legislation or requirements that he is supposed to be adhering to. That, we believe, is a failing on the part of the airport and their security partner, and to hold one individual responsible for that is not going to address the issue that disabled people face on a regular basis when travelling. We need to make sure that the organisations and companies who employ these individuals and give them that position of authority make sure that they know exactly how to fulfil their obligations and duties responsibly.
You believe that Belfast International Airport are listening to you on this. They have agreed to make a donation to a charity of your choice, and they've also apologised to Steve for how he was treated. You think they will learn from it?
We do hope so, and it is worth saying that the apology means a lot. Also, even within the airport, we do recognise that the special assistance team staff were phenomenal. So they, you know, Belfast Airport are doing some things right. It's just that they're not doing enough right. So the fact that Steve was prevented from flying means that he was impaired more by the security at Belfast Airport than he is by his disability in terms of being able to travel independently.
How did he feel at the time whenever he was going to see his dad, who's about to undergo chemotherapy, and he had a car, a specially adapted car booked the other side at Gatwick, and someone in Belfast is telling him he can't travel? He can't certainly take with him what he needs to take with him to undertake the travel safely. How did he feel at that particular time? Did he speak to you about it?
Well, the car hadn't been adapted. That was part of the problem. Steve needed to adapt the car when he got there. So he was bringing the hand controls and the toolkit, the spanners, to be able to do that. So the fact that they were confiscated meant that if he'd got to Gatwick Airport, not only would he have been in an incredibly vulnerable position in a wheelchair that he's unable to repair or adjust if he needs to, he would also have been unable to complete his journey because he wouldn't have been able to drive the car he had hired. The words he has used to describe how he felt at the time are crushed, devastated, surprised, because he's travelled so much before without having this issue previously. It's been questioned previously, why do you have this kit? But when he's been given the opportunity to explain why he needs it and why it's important, there's never been a problem. So I can tell you, when I went to collect him from the airport, he was sitting on the pavement by the side of the road, a grown man of 48 years of age, sitting in his wheelchair in tears, on the phone to his elderly father who has cancer, who's also in tears. Now, you tell me how you would feel if you lost the last opportunity you had to spend time with your elderly father before he started chemo. And if that was a direct result of your disability.
I hate to think what he was going through, to be honest, because we all have difficulties whenever we face some form of authority or power. And if there's no flexibility, we feel shortchanged, we feel rejected, we feel as if we haven't represented ourselves properly. We have a sense of regret whenever someone turns us away for whatever reason. But when you're turned away for no good reason whatsoever, it would bring most of us to tears, especially when the journey was so poignant.
Exactly. And I think it's worth mentioning that actually, you know, had this happened to someone who was less experienced of travelling in a wheelchair, had this happened to someone who was more recently injured or perhaps less confident to begin with, this could put them off travelling for life. This could actually, you know, make them believe that this is not something that is open to them to do as a person with a disability. So many other people have come forward as a result of our initial post sharing their experiences of trying to travel with a disability, that it is clear that this is not an isolated issue. And this is something where we need to raise awareness. We need to make sure that the Equalities Act is widely understood and adapted. And we need to make sure that people don't face the same issues moving forward in the future. So we don't want compensation. We want change. And we do recognise that the airport have been responsive to this. They have offered us compensation and agreed instead to make a donation in lieu of that compensation to a local Belfast disability charity.
It's very generous of you, Lisa, not to take the compensation yourself. I'm not so sure that I would have been as magnanimous as you are being, or your family is being. I would have felt that you were well entitled to be properly compensated into your own pocket. But good on you.
This is not about personal gain for us. This is about raising awareness, and this is about driving positive change as a result of this negative experience.
Well, you're certainly doing that. You absolutely are doing that. I really appreciate you coming on. In regards to Steve as well, who isn't available to speak to us this morning. But Lisa, thank you. Thank you.
I'll pass on your regards. Thanks so much, Frank. We really appreciate it.
That's Lisa Clydesdale, Steve's wife. Belfast International Airport say they acknowledge that Mr. Smithers had a distressing experience at airport security search point on Saturday. We have spoken to him and his partner, Lisa, and apologised on behalf of the airport for the manner in which he was treated. We offered alternative travel and transfer arrangements, but instead the couple have requested that the airport make a donation to a nominated local charity, which we will be doing this week. As the treatment experienced by Mr. Smithers during this process fell well below standards expected from security personnel, in order to remedy this, the airport will be immediately reviewing customer service and escalation procedures with our security providers, ICTS. Lisa sees it as a, you know, as a problem right across the system, and makes some very, very valid points, and knows more about it than I do. But it's still springing through my head that you can have all the good staff in the world, it just takes one idiot, and then you've got a difficulty. However, your opinions are very welcome. We come across them all the time, don't we? People who just, whenever they've got that little moment to display their power, they will display it. And common sense goes out the window. And I think that should be, when we review every job application, you know, common sense should be in there. How much common sense do you have, young man or young woman? I don't have any. I absolutely don't have any. If I see someone in a wheelchair with a wheelchair repair kit, I will believe that they're going to dismantle the plane. You know, why are people that got employed? Good morning to you. 90-333-105, 077-66-105. We'd like your jobs worth stories this morning. People who turned you away or said no to you because it's more than my job's worth. Claire's got a point to make. Good morning, Claire.
Good morning, Frank.
Claire, you've been travelling. Have you had difficulties?
No, not at all. Quite the opposite. I just wanted to share my experience of travelling from Belfast International Airport. Firstly, I just want to empathise with that gentleman. I'm all for promoting the rights of people with disabilities, and they have a right to travel. I have a son who has a disability, and I booked special assistance for him. And when we arrived at Belfast International Airport, we went to the special assistance desk, and he was given a lanyard to wear around his neck so the staff in the airport would recognise that he had a disability. And from that, like, I mean, we were treated so well. We were taken through all the crowds, because I was panicking when I seen the crowds at the airport, thinking, how am I going to control him for 40 minutes or entertain him in this crowd? And we were just ushered straight through into sort of the express area, you know, for priority boarding and priority through the security as well. And that we didn't have any, you know, negative at all. The staff were more than nice to us. But unfortunately, on the way back from Liverpool Airport, the staff weren't as nice and weren't as accommodating. So I do get it, you know, but I just, our personal experience, I just wanted to share that today. say, because I know there are good staff everywhere, and likewise there are the few, as you say, don't have the common sense. But I'm very much for promoting the rights of people with disabilities. I'm very passionate about it.
Yeah, listen, thank you for that analysis of Belfast International Airport. That's how I see the airport, actually. You know, I've had experience of taking some elderly relatives through the airport, and I would be giving them a very positive response. I've also been through security many times at Belfast International Airport and found the people who are working there to be very courteous and professional. But the system let Steve Smithers down at an incredible level. It just was beyond belief that someone who would be in a position, and in a position, they seem to be the supervisor on that particular day, according to Lisa, for an individual to make a decision like that. We saw refereeing decisions during the World Cup where we couldn't believe what we were watching on the screen. If you were standing listening to the conversation between Steve and whoever the security supervisor was at Belfast International Airport, you would have felt like that. You would have felt like intervening. You said, what? He's going to dismantle the plane? How on earth could anyone suggest that? And I know it says in the rule book you cannot take tools into the cabin, but that's a British trowel or a hammer. You know, that's not a wee spanner to adjust a wheelchair. I think it comes down to common sense. And do you get a sense that sometimes maybe even those people you met at Liverpool, they just individuals lack it?
Absolutely. My child uses a specialist buggy, and it does look like a bigger version of a normal buggy, but it is classed as a wheelchair, in fact. And I was trying to explain to the staff, no, you have to treat this as a wheelchair. And they were like, no, it's a buggy. And I said, but, you know, technically it is a wheelchair, you know, for my child, because he's not big enough to go into a wheelchair, yet he's only 7. So, as I say, I think a lot of the policy makers and the people who make the rules should meet with groups who work with people with disabilities and get first-hand feedback from them and understand the likes of the gentleman who has a paraplegic, you know, what his abilities are, you know, and then they would be able to see then how ridiculous it would be for this man to get up and get access his bag during the flight and take the plane apart. You know, likewise, I'm been campaigning this last while into how to train midwives about, you know, breaking news to parents, you know, their child has a disability, because within the group that I am with, there's been a lot of negative experiences where they've been telling the news that your child has disabilities, and they've gone about it in totally the wrong way, giving you all the negative first. So I think a lot of people need to look at their training and work with people who work with people with disabilities and get the first-hand experience, get their feelings, get their thoughts and what we need, and know how we need to make things change.
Good point. Very well made, Claire. Thank you very much indeed. I'm going to speak to Alicia in just a moment. Ailish is the lady who's about to speak to me. Good morning, Ailish.
Morning, Frank.
Ailish, we're talking jobs worth this morning. Now, you know, I suppose when we use that term, we think this is going to be incredibly critical of people who don't have any flexibility in the workplace when it comes to decision-making. But I'm sure many people will have positive things to say also about how they've been treated by officials in various places. So what have you got to say?
Like, I travel quite a bit. I'm in both airports here in Belfast and Dublin, quite a bit. But on Thursday past, I was travelling to Leeds, Bradford. And when I got through security and was actually sitting just waiting to be called to the gate, I realised, Frank, that I left my purse in the car, which was parked this side of IKEA. You know, it was at the furthest car parking space away that you can get. Obviously, I panicked, didn't know what to do. I went back downstairs to some men that were standing at security with badges on, went over and explained the situation. And Frank, all I can say to you was I got an excellent service, and I'm still wondering how I can thank those men. You know, first of all, they guided me outside. And when I got outside, there was a blue minibus waiting for me that drove me to my car to get my purse. I got my purse, I came back to the airport, and I was brought up to Fly B to get another check-in, to get another check, boarding pass, straight away, no queues, and through security without a problem, and I made my flight, Frank. And I've never experienced that before. I thought it was excellent.
You see, Eilish, if the blokes who were looking after you at Belfast City Airport, and I'm sure there are similar blokes and girls at Belfast International Airport, if they had have been, any one of those people, had have been dealing with Steve on Saturday, I think Steve would have had a much more pleasurable experience. And I totally understand why they want a root and branch examination of how staff behave at the airport in security, and it just is not acceptable that Steve went through what he went through on Saturday. But I also feel he was really unlucky that he met the individual that he met. And, you know, any one of those people who you liaised with on during your experience at the City Airport, if they had been on duty at the International, I think Steve would have seen his dad, and the wheelchair toolkit would have travelled with him.
Frank, I travel with my husband, who is disabled, on a regular basis. And all I can say is normally the reception my husband would get would be fair to good. Recently, I've noticed the International stepping up in how they can help and assist you if you are disabled. The only thing is, I worked in the disability sector all my life, Frank. And the problem is awareness. The problem is training for staff on customer service and disability awareness. You know, you were spot on this morning when you were saying about tools. You know, these aren't work tools. This is equipment. It's not tools. It's like having a guide dog on a plane. We're not allowed dogs on a plane, but you can have a guide dog on a plane. This guy needed his tools, or he needed his equipment to be able to continue with his journey.
And do you think it's down to common sense, or generally, do people need much better training?
Frank, I think it's a bit of both. You know, common sense. I think security's told, to be quite honest, over and over, you can't let this through, this can only go through, this can't go through. But at the same time, with disability awareness and a wee bit of common sense and flexibility, because the big question I had around this whole experience that man had was, why wasn't the equipment, why wasn't there an offer of putting it into the hold if there was such a problem with it being in the cabin and given to the man, you know, on his exit from the plane? There were so many ways of, you know, of making that man's journey more pleasurable than what happened there. But I think it was down to one person, Frank. I don't think it's down to the whole airport staff and their policies. I do believe, though, training is needed.
Okay, Eilish, thank you very much indeed. David's on line four. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Frank. Just to say, I've travelled through Belfast International this year and last year, and my experience with the International was good. We got meet and assist. We were helped all the way through it, through security, onto the plane, and the staff couldn't have been any better. We were flying to Bristol. Coming back from Bristol, meet and assist could have been better, though we got there. You do find it sometimes that some airports are very different. Now, recently, about a week ago, I was travelling to Edinburgh from Belfast City. And again, my experience was very positive, both at the city and at Edinburgh, and when I was returning home again. I think it's down to training, better training and made awareness. Yes, that one individual did make life very, very difficult for that gentleman, and that person, I would like to think, would be retrained and spoken to. But he should have took advice from his management team to see if his tools, as they say, were able to be brought on board. He certainly wasn't going to be travelling. He's a paraplegic. He wasn't going to dismantle the plane. The only other thing I would say was, I think I would have accepted the compensation, although that was their choice, that they wanted the airport to donate to a charity. The airport did the right thing by offering him an apology and compensation. But it's good that the airport is going to look into their procedures and hopefully better staff training.
Yeah, in fairness to the airport, once the problem arose, they seem to have handled it and dealt with it very well in terms of the PR and the understanding of what Steve has been put through. And they're also emphasising that they are liaising with their security provider, a group called ICTS. David, thank you. Thank you very much, David. So, mixed reaction, really, to how you feel about those who have a little bit of power. It's not just at airports, by the way. I like your stories this morning of, and am I emphasising too much the point that the bloke on Saturday may have been waiting forever to get finally turning someone away who would have a toolkit with them? He's got his clipboard there and it says no tools. And he's been working, I don't know how long he's been working, 5 minutes or 20 years, but no one's ever turned up with tools before. And then suddenly, oh, here comes a man in a wheelchair and he's got tools with him. He's not getting on. You know, there's a certain satisfaction comes from turning the bloke away. And he did, even though it's not come across in this programme, we know from the general coverage of this story, he did use the term no chance. He said that to Steve. No chance. Your opinions, 02890-333-105. 02890-333-105. If you're just joining us, you're very welcome. It is the Frank Mitchell phone-in. Communards, don't leave me this way. Do you know, funny, every song suitable, listen, I often talk about the appropriate songs department. I hadn't planned that one, but it is appropriate for what we're talking about. You know, a guy, he's using a wheelchair. He's left at Belfast International Airport, unable to get on board the flight because a decision is made that the little toolkit he has for adjusting his wheelchair might be used, indeed, in the plane to dismantle the plane. So therefore, he isn't going to be able to get on board, and they didn't make any decision with regards to giving the toolkit to the cabin crew or putting it somewhere else. They just said, no, you're not travelling. And he was on his way with his wheelchair to visit his ill father. So don't leave me this way, but they did leave him, and the poor man ended up in tears out on the concourse, and his wife had to come to collect him. That service is not good enough. It's as simple as that. It is not good enough. So we're trying to get to the bottom of whether general training is needed or it's just one individual who made a really stupid decision. And people do make stupid decisions. They do it. You know, we're human, and well, I say we're human, but would we make that decision? Good morning to you, 90333105. I'm going to speak to Anne, who has a point to make in just a moment. Good morning to you. We're talking Jobsworths this morning. A gentleman talking about the Remore restaurant up in Portrush. He says he was there recently with his children. One of the children has limited ability when it comes to using cutlery, and he asked for the pizza wheel cutter, which the child would regularly use when out for a pizza treat. He says Pizza Express routinely supply it and always have done. But at the Remore restaurant in Portrush, the best they could do was take the pizza away and cut it. For health and safety reasons, they would not allow the little wheeled cutter out onto the table. Is that a common sense thing, or is that sort of, you know, Jobsworth attitude? As he says, Pizza Express routinely provide the little cutter for the child to use, but not at the Remore. So are we crossing too many T's and dotting too many I's when it comes to health and safety? Are we stretching the point beyond belief, or is this just the way it is? And if there's someone who is in a wheelchair and they've got a toolkit, is there a possibility that they might dismantle the aeroplane when they get inside? Let me speak to Anne, who's on this line. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Frank. I think the possibility of this man dismantling an aircraft is absolutely zero, given that he's paraplegic and paralysed from the chest down. I think common sense has been replaced with nonsense. It's absolutely diabolical, and there's no excuse, Mr. Frank. Absolutely none. I think the way this man was treated is deplorable.
I like that line where it's common sense being replaced by nonsense, and that sums it up really for me. But if we move along the line, for example, the text there from the gentleman who was at the Ramor restaurant up in Port Rush, where they won't allow the pizza cutter to be used by, and it's actually by a teenage child out on the table who's got limited ability with cutlery. Pizza Express routinely allow it onto the table, but the Ramor won't. Do you understand rules like that?
I understand that there has to be rules. I know that, Frank, but for every rule or for every problem, there's a solution. And sometimes these people aren't interested in finding a solution. Now, I understand Steve offered a solution of giving the cabin crew his wee spanners, which I saw them on Facebook are wee tiny spanners. They're not even ordinary workman spanners. He offered to give these to the cabin crew. There were solutions offered. The solution with that kid with the pizza cutter, his parents were there. My God, what was he going to do? Cut their tables?
I know, in fairness, they did take the pizza back and cut it in the kitchen, but it seems strange to me. And I'm all into health and safety as an individual, but I think we're getting examples of it this morning being stretched beyond belief.
I think so too, Frank, and it's humiliating for the people. I understand Steve was left outside that airport in tears, and not only him, the impact that this has had on his parents who were waiting on him on the other side, his dad who has cancer. My goodness, I just, it's beyond words.
Yeah, and this humiliation thing is very important, because I'm thinking of the teenage child who usually cuts his pizza with one of the little rollers.
Absolutely.
He does it when he's regularly out for a pizza, but it's embarrassing for a teenager to have their dinner taken away.
Absolutely.
To be cut up for them.
We're all about promoting their independence. You know, that's what it is. You promote their independence. You want them to feel normal. You don't want them to be labelled by their disability. My own daughter, Frank, is diabetic. And whenever I go to a restaurant, I ask, have you any sugar-free juice? No, it's not sugar-free, the diluting or whatever. Okay, we'll have a Coke Zero. I don't say she's diabetic. You know, these kids don't want highlighted their problems. They want to live as normal a life as possible, as I'm sure Steve does as well. It's just disgusting.
Okay, Anne, thank you very much indeed. Certainly something you wouldn't want a family member to have to go through. That's sort of embarrassment or rejection when common sense is all that is needed. Good morning to you. 90-333-105 077-66-105-105. Just looking at some of your texts here that are popping up on the screen in front of me. Frank, this is a Sioux society, so I can understand the pizza cutter, says Paul. But Paul, seriously, this is a teenager who is well capable of cutting a pizza with a pizza roller, but can't fully use the knife and fork. However, is well capable of using a pizza cutter. What is he going to do? Cut off his hand with it? You know, is he going to start rolling it up and down his chest to make himself bleed? What is he going to do with it? We have to factor in common sense, don't we? Not according to Paul, because he reckons that it is a litigious society. And, you know, of course it is. People would sue for looking the wrong way. Frank, I've needed special assistance many times at both the International and City Airport and found them second to none. EasyJet booked me on special assistance wheelchairs, but EasyJet booked me on special assistance as a wheelchair user, but Flybe never booked me on it, and it has never been a problem at the City. They always accommodate me and get me a wheelchair really promptly. I cannot thank both airports enough. So full praise. And listen, there'll be no shortage of praise for both airports. Absolutely no shortage. I've been praising them myself as well this morning. Lester has a point that he wants to make. Lester, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mitchell. How are you?
I'm very well, fella. Go ahead.
Are you? I tell you what it is, Frank. There's a lovely lady on there, the wife of the gentleman that was at the airport and was turned away. And she was making a really, really valid point about the need of the support and the need of the assistance, and a very, very generalised and a very, very well articulated point about the need for to be caring and looking after disabled people going through the airport. And this Jobsworth cut right across her because he has that authority to do that and turned it into a vicious attack on an individual at the airport.
So that's me.
And sorry. It wasn't you. It must have been. And this lady was trying, even after you went into your whole rant about this guy and who's probably going to get a lot of stick from his colleagues in work this morning, this lady came back again to say this is not about an individual, this is about explaining the process. And what she made very clear during the interview was that the security staff had no support above them to assist them in making the decision. And you can hear they're coming through the praise of people going through security. I was unfortunate enough to be up at the international airport the Saturday week back there with all the floods. And you've seen all the top brass running there trying to help brush away the water and get the people off the plane. But when the people come off the plane, they took off their yellow coats and made themselves invisible to leave the coal-faced workers dealing with all the complaints about having to sit in the plane for 2 or 3 hours and the luggage being diverted. This lady was making a very, 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 very well-structured concern about the facilities for disabled people and how well that they need to be managed and processed. And I have to say, Frank, it turned it into a vicious attack on an individual.
Well, I don't think there's been anything vicious in the program. However, let's go back to the kernel of this.
Very, very stern.
Yeah, okay.
Very, very stern attack.
But Lester, this is the important bit. If there hadn't been a Jobsworth dealing with Steve, Steve would have been in the hospital visiting his father in Luton or wherever the hospital is. He would have been across there. He would have been across. The Jobsworth stopped him. And that's why I have targeted that individual, because we get them in all walks of society.
Target is a very,
but hold
a
on.
Very strong word.
Lester, hold on. Let's stick to the point here. We get a situation where you have a Jobsworth who turns away a paraplegic who's in a wheelchair because he might dismantle the aeroplane when he gets on board. That guy is a Jobsworth. That's the politest word that I can find for him. He deserves to be highlighted for the fact that he turned away that passenger in such a daft and silly way. We get people like that in every walk of society. We get them occasionally as door staff at pubs. We get them in the police, individuals in the police who take away from the good name of the force. We get them at the international airport who take away from the good name of the security staff. We get them outside nightclubs who take away from the good name of the door staff. And we get them in shops who take away from the good name of the actual store that they work in. There are individuals like that, Lister, who must be highlighted, who must be targeted, who must be called out for lacking common sense. Would you not agree with me on that?
I would agree that when the forum is there to do that, but this lady, this lovely, lovely person who has...
But I had no argument with the lady. I had no argument with the lady.
Who has grace and soul, was making a very articulate protest about how this was handled and the lack of support to the people that were doing it. And you turned it into the Jobsworth thing. You can do that as an individual. Not that the timing was wrong for this. And then when the next lady came on and started talking about something similar about her good process, then you went back again to that. Instead of listening to what the people were saying and letting them articulate the way they were and using somebody else who came on to talk about Jobsworth and Jobsworth. Because the term Jobsworth comes from people, it's more than my Jobsworth.
Okay. And I do believe it's more than his Jobsworth to have let the wheelchair user onto the plane. I should emphasise, I had no argument at all with the lady who was married to Steve, who was our first guest on the programme, Lisa Clydesdale. And I'm sure Lisa would agree that I had no argument with Lisa. I was simply emphasising the other argument that the guy sounds to me as if he is a Jobsworth.